Well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. And I'm going to be teaching tonight on the nine manifestations. The nine manifestations. I thought it would be good to kind of look at tonight the nine manifestations, and then maybe next week look into speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues and prophecy as well. So I thought we could kind of get a refresher course on the nine manifestations. But 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," and the word gifts there is in italics, which means it's not in the original text. The word spiritual there is pneumatikon, which means spiritual matters. So concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Right? I would not have you ignorant. So God, at the end of the day, does not want us to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit, right? And one of the keys to understanding some of the stuff we're going to look at tonight is the knowledge that God is Spirit, right? God is Spirit. And on top of that, God happens to be holy, right? One of the attributes of God is that He is holy. And therefore, God can be described as Holy Spirit, because He's both of those things. And so the Word of God sometimes uses the phrase Holy Spirit to literally mean God. The Spirit that we receive at the new birth is also obviously Spirit, and it also is holy, right? It's a gift from God. So the gift that we receive from God is also called Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to understand the difference. He doesn't want us to be ignorant of these things. He wants to understand the difference between the gift and the giver. So tonight I don't have drawings as much as I have some charts and some things. So, you know, Dr. Rowe would be very proud. Our art department worked really hard on these. But there's a difference between the giver and the gift, right? God is the giver, and He is Holy Spirit with a capital H and a capital S. And then His gift to us is also known as Holy Spirit, and it's the gift from God. So God is the one and only Holy Spirit with a capital H and capital S. But what He gave us at the new birth is His gift, Holy Spirit. So let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. So it's important when you read the Bible and you see the phrase Holy Spirit that you understand the context of what's being spoken about. Because it could be it's talking about God, and it could be that it's talking about His gift. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so verses 5 and 8 both talk about the Holy Ghost. Now, did God come upon them? No, God did not come upon them. He is Holy Spirit, right? But that's not what it's talking about. When it says the Holy Ghost there, it's talking about the Holy Spirit being the gift from God. It's His gift. The Holy Spirit that we received is the same that they received on the day of Pentecost. And it says in verse 8 that they would receive what? Power. Power. And so with that gift, they received power. Right? And we're going to look into what that power is. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Okay? So in the context of those verses, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit being talked about was the gift, not God Himself. But they would receive power, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And that word withal is just a funny word for with. Okay? So, verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit. So what Spirit is it talking about? Our Holy Spirit, the gift, right? It's the manifestation of what we've received as the gift, right? So it's not the manifestation of God. It's the manifestation of the gift. And it's given to every man in the sense, and that every man is not every person, right? I don't think Bob down the street has Holy Spirit. He hasn't told me. Bob's not a real person. This is just an example. Not every man has Holy Spirit. We're not all born again on this planet, right? It's not every man. It's every man who is born again, right? To profit with all. To profit with, okay? So it's a figure of speech. The manifestation of the Spirit, right, is referred, and that figure of speech, for those who want to get real deep into it, is heterosis. And it means the singular noun, the manifestation of the Spirit, is used to represent the plural. Okay? So when it says the manifestation of the Spirit, it's talking about the nine we'll see tonight. Nine manifestations, plural. Okay? So we can't smell, taste, touch, hear, Spirit. Right? Doesn't work. It's something in beyond the senses realm. So the manifestation of Holy Spirit produces something in the senses realm. Okay? You can't touch, smell, taste, hear, or see the Holy Spirit I have. But the manifestations that I bring forth is a physical senses realm manifestation of that thing that you can't see, smell, taste, touch, or hear. Okay? So that's what it is to manifest Holy Spirit. It's something in the outward senses realm that to something that isn't in the outward senses realm. Right? Every man is the context of every born-again person. So that verse really says the manifestations, the nine that we're going to read tonight, of the Spirit, of that Holy Spirit, in the senses realm, is given to every born-again believer to profit with. So why is it, what's the purpose of the manifestations? To profit. To profit. How? Well, we're going to look. Right? But they're there for us to profit with. Verse 8. 4:1 is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Okay, and so this section of scripture was really confusing to me for the longest time. Because it says it's given to every man, the prophet, with. And then the next verse says, well, to one is given this, you know, manifestation of the word of wisdom. Okay? The one is referring back to the last noun used. And the last noun used is the prophet of the Spirit. Right? It's given to every man to profit. Okay? Profiting, the profit of something is a noun. So one of the prophets' benefits is the word of wisdom. Another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Right? That same gift, that same Holy Spirit in us. Another prophet, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. to another the interpretation of tongue. Okay? So the Spirit in each one of those verses is referring to the gift. Right? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit that we have. Our gift. And each one is for a prophet. Right? But it's all by the same what? Spirit. Right? Okay? So it can't be that the 4-2-1 is to a single person. It's not like, well, my manifestation is speaking in tongues, and Jess's manifestation is miracles, and Hannah's manifestation is word of knowledge. It's all by the same gift, right? It's given to every man for profiting. So, in the context, all 9 of these manifestations are given to every born-again believer to profit, and they're all the manifestation of the same Spirit that we have, right? So the 9 manifestations that we just read about here are not in any particular order in the Word of God, right? And so we can logically group them as human beings into groups of 3 that more or less make sense to us. But it's not like the Word of God has these categories laid out. So the first group we're going to talk about is the utterance, speaking, or worship manifestation. 3 of these manifestations have something to do with talking. Okay? The words coming out of our mouths. That's why they're known as the utterance manifestations, because we utter some words. And those are, in verse 10, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and there's prophecy also there in verse 10. Okay, so prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So the first one is speaking in tongues. That's diverse kinds of tongues. And so speaking in tongues is when you bring forth a message from God in a language that you don't understand, and it edifies your spirit. It builds up your spirit, the gift within you. Okay? That's the definition of speaking in tongues. You bring forth a message from God in a language you don't understand, and its purpose is to edify your spirit. The interpretation of tongues is the second one, and that's when someone interprets, again, by the message given from God, when they're speaking in tongues with a group of believers in the language that is understood. Right? So if we were just to speak in tongues without interpreting in here, it wouldn't make sense to anybody. Right? It would just be in a language that nobody knew. So when you're in a believer's meeting like this, you want to have an interpretation of those tongues so that everybody can benefit from the words being spoken. It's a message from God in the language you do understand. And then prophecy is bringing forth a message from God to a group of believers in a language they do understand. So it's similar to the interpretation that comes after speaking in tongues, right? It's a message from God to the group present in a language they understand. And it doesn't need to be preceded by speaking in tongues like interpretation does. Okay, so those are your utterance manifestations. Your next group, again, not something the Word of God groups in any way, but just to help us make sense of them, are the revelation or information manifestations. Okay? In verse 8 it says, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And then in verse 10 it says, discerning of spirits. And so we've grouped those into these information or revelation manifestations. The word of knowledge is defined as receiving information from God that you couldn't know by your senses. That's the simplest way to describe it. So you get information from God somehow, some way, and it's information you couldn't possibly know using the 5 senses that you have on you right now. Right? If you could see something, God's not going to tell you about it because you can see it. If you could hear something, God's not going to tell you about it because you can hear it. But if something's going on that you need to know about that you can't pick up with those 5 senses, God can show that to you. He can give you information. And that's what word of knowledge is. So You're able to do that because you have Holy Spirit. And one of the manifestations of that Holy Spirit is receiving information from God. Word of wisdom is defined as receiving instruction on what to do with the info you received by word of knowledge. So God can give you word of knowledge. He can tell you that the neighbor's house is on fire while you're in the basement, right? There's no way for you to know that the neighbor's house is on fire while you're in the basement. You can't see the fire, hear the fire, you can't smell the smoke, but he tells you the neighbor's house is on fire. What good is that information? It's nice to know, I suppose. But the word of wisdom is then the information he gives you to know what to do with that, right? So he could say, hey, the house is on fire. You should run over there and pull out Mr. Jenkins, right? Maybe he gives you that information. If he's giving you that information, then that's what he wants you to do. And you should carry it out, right? Because God's giving you instruction. Maybe by five senses wise, you wouldn't know it was safe to go pull Mr. Jenkins out. But if God tells you that's what you should do, then you can trust that, right? And so word of wisdom is what to do with the information that you receive. And then discerning of spirits is receiving information from God concerning the presence or non-presence, the absence, and identity of spirits, right? And that includes whether or not you can cast them out, okay? So discerning of spirits is when God gives you information about whether or not there are other spirits around, you know, and what kind of spirits they are. Right? God can reveal to you that a stranger over there has Holy Spirit. God can reveal to you that a stranger over there has a devil spirit and has something wrong with them. And then God can also tell you whether or not there's nothing going on in that room. There's no spirits here. Nothing to be concerned about. Right? So it's the presence or non-presence of spirits. And then whether or not, if they're devil spirits, if you should be casting them out or not. Because just because there is one doesn't mean you should attempt to cast it out, right? There are records in the Bible of that going very wrong. So that information is discerning of spirits. Okay, the next group is the impartation power or action manifestations, right? And so again, if we look back at our verses here, verse 9 says, faith, to another gifts of healing. So there's gifts of healing. And there is working of miracles at the beginning of verse 10. And so those are the three power or impartation or action manifestation. And these are grouped together because the first three are, again, things that are, you speak, utterance. The next three are things that are revealed to you. And then the last three involves some kind of action on your part, right? The first one, faith, or believing, and it's defined as manifesting the faith of Jesus Christ, which makes it possible for a believer to do the impossible according to info received via the revelation manifestation. So it's basically the believing that Jesus Christ had, like that confidence, that absolute assurity that he had, that made it possible for him and for you when operating it to do the impossible according to information that you've received from the revelation manifestations, right? So maybe God tells you, hey, you can go into Mr. Jenkins' house and it's going to be really hot in there, but I'm going to protect you, right? And so you have to believe that and act on that information and potentially run through fire that would otherwise burn you but doesn't, right? The impossible. Because you have the believing and the faith that what God told you was true. Number 8 is miracles. And miracles is defined as bringing about phenomenon that exceeds the laws of nature. Okay? So anything that exceeds the law of nature that you bring to pass based on God revealing information to you is a miracle. And there's lots and lots of records in the Bible of people doing miracles. Jesus Christ and other born-again believers, like the apostles, performing miracles. And that's done because they operated the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for miracles. And the last one is gifts of healing or healing, right? And that's defined as ministering healing to restore, to cure, to make sound or whole. Okay? And so God makes it available for us to heal one another, to heal other people, right? Via the manifestation of Holy Spirit. And it's a restoration or a curing or to make sound or whole. Right? It's not necessarily miraculous healing, which is, you know, part of the manifestations. That would be healing and a miracle. If, you know, you pick up the lame guy and he's suddenly walking, or you raise the dead, that is instantaneous. But it can also be a restoration, right? Someone could have cancer in their system and be feeling really terrible, and you can operate gifts of healing and heal them of the cancer, but it takes them couple weeks or months for the symptoms to heal and to be delivered, right? The root cause, the cancer, was healed. That's the restoration. And if God could only give us each one of these, then it wouldn't make sense, right? Because they work together, right? Imagine only having word of knowledge. Your neighbor's house is on fire.
Okay.
Good to know, right? It doesn't make sense. You need to be able to operate all nine of the manifestations because they work together in harmony, right? They work together in harmony. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Now, the reason it wouldn't make sense is in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of what? Persons." So if God was a respecter of persons, then maybe we could each just get one of these, right? God would be like, all right, Tess is getting prophecy. And Justin's getting speaking in tongues. Good luck with that one. Nobody's going to understand you, right? So God's not a respecter of persons, right? It's the same spirit that we all have. And these are the nine manifestations of that self-same spirit. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. To hammer it home further. Ephesians 1 verse 3. He's not playing favorites and giving some to some people and some to another. If you've been born again, you've received the gift. And you've got it all. And you have the nine manifestations available to you. How do I know? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." If I could only operate a couple of these because God didn't give me the rest, would that be all spiritual blessings? No, it wouldn't be. It would only be some of them. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, which means that self-same spirit that we all have is capable of all of that. Right? It's capable of all of that. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. We looked at 7 through 10 before, which talked about what the nine manifestations are. It listed them out. But verse 11 concludes, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit." All of them work out of, they emanate from, at one and the selfsame Spirit, the gift that we've all got. dividing. And the word dividing there is distributing. Distributing to every man severally as he will. And the word severally there is his own. And so the verse better reads, all these worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, distributing to every man his own as he will. As who will it? As God wills? No, that's not what it says, right? It's not distributing to every man as God wants. It's distributing to every man as that person wants, right? And so the conclusion is that all these, the nine manifestations, belong to the one and self-same Spirit, the gift that we all have, and they're all up to us to privately, as we see fit on our own, operate the way that we want. The way that we want. Right? That's what the he refers back to. It refers to every man, not to God. And the dividing is solely based on each person's desire to operate the manifestations via the renewed mind. God will not overstep our freedom of will. He will not make you manifest Holy Spirit. That's not what he does. He doesn't possess. He's not going to possess you and make you speak in tongues. He's not going to possess you and give you information that you don't care to receive. Right? If you want information from God, then you need to operate word of knowledge. If you want to work miracles, then you have to want to do it. Right? And part of that is understanding how the nine manifestations work together. Right? We saw tonight, and we'll go into it deeper in another teaching, that speaking in tongues is for the edifying and the building up of the Spirit, right? And so if we don't do that a lot, then we're not really exercising and building up our spirit, right? We're not thinking spiritually. We're not making it a priority in our lives to sort of focus on spiritual matters, right? And so that's part of it. But it's all about how much we want it. It's our conscious choice. And that's why God doesn't want us ignorant of them, right? Back, we'll close again in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He wants you to know about them because it's up to you and to me and on our own as to how much we manifest them, right? As to how often we operate them, as to how important it is in our own life to make it part of our own. It's up to us. So God wants us to know about them because he wants us to desire to do them, right? And if we don't know about them, then we can't make them a priority. Right? So that's what I wanted to share tonight, kind of an introduction to the nine manifestations. And we're going to take a deeper look at some of them in the coming weeks.